There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I don't care who actually is wide receiver you, but at least have enough to send out a meme. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. I saw some, I think it was a coach, being mocked. He couldn't pronounce meme. Maybe it's somebody on TV. Couldn't do it. But meme. What's a meme? We all know what that is. Digital image that, in this case, the Clemson or LSU, I don't know, both of them, were wide receiver you. Florida Gators. And see, this is why I said I don't care who actually is wide receiver you. I don't care who actually gets the title. That's one of these examples. We talked about this yesterday. Not the point. If I can legitimately talk about you in the discussion of wide receiver you, fine. Send out everything you want to. Now, you can do that anyway. Memphis can send out wide receiver you if they want. They've had some success. Northern Illinois could send out wide receiver you memes. I don't know that they've had a guy drafted. I don't know. I don't know that they hadn't. I remember Jordan Lynch was there and the burner. But whatever. Send out whatever you want. Arkansas. And Treylon Burks may be the first receiver drafted this year. I don't know. But you can have the discussion. If you want to say Florida, I'll say, all right, I'll tell you everything from Chad Jackson back to whoever. First round here and move on. Tons of them. So it doesn't actually matter if LSU gets the belt or somebody else does. The fact that the Tigers can go chest out on this and go X, Y, Z, and that's all 26 examples. See, we're as much as anybody, and that's you kind of walk away and go, yeah, so we'll keep sending our memes. Fun fact that's not very fun. Most recent first-round wide receiver from UGA. A.J. Green, 11 years ago. The only other first-round wide receiver from UGA in your lifetime is Lindsey Scott, and that depends on your lifetime. Dan, did you have a lifetime in 1982?
No, I wasn't even thought of yet.
Dan, the only wide receiver from UGA in the first round in your lifetime.
2011, A.J. Green. A.J. Green,
you don't even get Lindsey Scott. I don't know how this is possible. You could be listening right now. You'd be a 43-year-old dude, and you're like, wait a minute, my whole life? Huh? You know, more horrifying than being a 43-year-old dude and going, what, in my whole lifetime they've had two? How is that possible? I don't know. I want to guess at something. Like Memphis. There's a chance Memphis has had more first-round receivers. Or as many. Isaac Bruce was like a third rounder, but as horrifying as it is for me to say, if you're 43 in your lifetime, there's been two. If you're 39, there's been one. Dan's 30 something. How old are you?
36.
Dan, you're 36 years old. Georgia, one in your lifetime? Lindsey Scott was drafted in the first round in April of 1982. Really good guy. Didn't have a very long career. He's a first rounder from the New Orleans Saints. And he went down there and played some. And I think he resurfaced. I think he played in the USFL maybe. Might have happened. But that was April of 1982. All right, life rules. You know, on the side of the fridge, sports rules, life rules. Life rule. when something happens so far back, you just give the month and the year, not the day. That's not good. If it happened 2 years ago, and on November 17th, 2019, this happened far enough back that you say April 1982. Now, do you know what the next step is? Civil War era. Like, any time in that, like, 8 years. And I'm talking about that sort of in the same realm with Georgia having a first-round wide receiver. I don't know how that's possible, and I've been here for it all. Georgia had a receiver drafted in the first round 11 years ago. Depending on your lifetime, the only other one you got is Lindsey Scott, April 1982. This season, Alabama's second leading receiver caught 96 passes. Roll that around in your dome for a second. This season, their second leading receiver, the guy who didn't even play all the games, the second leading receiver caught 96 passes. That was this season. Last season, Bama had a receiver win the Heisman and get drafted 10th overall. And a different receiver who didn't win the Heisman and wasn't even healthy, he went 6th. So, what's the issue with Jermaine Burton deciding to go full-on Rod Tidwell? Give himself the best chance to get the dollars to last him and his a very long time? Because I don't have one. And I'll say, my observation to the reaction, non-scientific. My observation of the reaction kind of split among respondents from the Georgia fan base, but there was, I'll say, half and half. Half was in the very non-aggressive, congratulatory, all right, he helped us win a national championship, and best to you. That was some. Like, half included that, as well as, I'm a little confused, why would he do, you know, whatever. Something that wasn't negative, necessarily. That's half. About half was more tinged, and some were just outright, but those people are crazy on Twitter anyway. So when I say non-scientific, I went and looked on a bathroom wall. I know what social media is. And it surprised me, really, that there was less of a realization, especially the euphoria of you just won your national championship. Because as far back as you have to go to find the second most recent first-round wide receiver, you got to go even further to find the second most recent national championship. So I was surprised. I'm telling you, I've got mine 11 years ago now. I got mine. It was glorious. It washed over me. Do you ever see that movie Wild Things? Remember when Bill Murray got the settlement check and he was like showering with it and rubbing a... That was me with my national championship, man. I don't even really buy much apparel. I buy really high quality stuff. I used to get it from Russell. I'd actually go to the place out yonder. But I would try to, you know, get the officially licensed, well-made stuff, but I get like a hoodie and a jacket and whatever, and I wear it and wear it and wear it. National championship, went to the bookstore. I just asked you if you saw a movie. You ever see Caddyshack? Remember seeing Rodney Dangerfield in the pro shop? That was me. And by the way, if you know me at all, 99% of my life is lived between 4 and 6 on the 1 to 10 scale. I don't bottom out. I don't get too high. Nobody has seen me walking around the office thinking, did Chuck take ecstasy again? I usually am right there. I try to keep it 4 to 6. I couldn't get to the bookstore fast enough. I walked in. I was like, give me two of these, one of those, a couple of that. Give me that off the top shelf. I just went and I was like pouring stuff in there. Most times, I don't even need a basket at the bookstore. I'm getting one item or two, maybe, or it's a game day, and I was like, dang it, koozies. Sometimes I got a shopping cart. You know the little shopping carts like at a college bookstore? I had one. I was just putting stuff in there. Because it was his national championship. I was surprised. Cam Newton's like, I'm going pro. I was like, off to the league. I think it was Darvin Adams. He said, I'm going to the pros. I was like, I don't know that you're going to get drafted. Nick Fairley going to the pros. I was like, okay. I appreciate the national championship. It's different than if they transferred to a rival that maybe you play. I get it. This is eight rows of onions. Okay? I understand it. However, you just won a national championship, and for most of you, if you're my age, you didn't really get it because you were like a sixth grader. Even if you were there in 98.6, it doesn't mean it's not like, in fact, it's not like it is today. So I was surprised that there was any negative reaction to that when you look at the in-the-moment reality, because the fact that Georgia could have had 15 first-round wide receivers from 2000 to 2009, and it would have not a whole lot of relevance right now. Alabama, this is in the moment. Jameson Williams, he showed up after A-Day. Jameson Williams was on campus like 15 minutes. He was the best non-quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. Boom, immediately. He was better than any of the other receivers, including John Metchie, in my opinion. Just different. He runs away from you, man. And more of a receiver. John Metchie, think Hines Ward. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Jameson Williams is different. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, continue with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Pushing through and what that meant to me in terms of becoming a better player, a better person, and in the end of the day, more appreciative of the things I accomplished. So I just hate that it's so easy for everybody to decide they're going elsewhere, because I don't think it's always a case where the grass is greener on the other side of the fence.
Chris Doering, Saturday Down South podcast. Boy, that's high-quality content. Always love having them on. But Chris Doering from the SEC Network, and his point is correct as well, that one of the truths about the transfer portal as it exists is it is very easy to find a new situation. I was mentioning this with Jahlil Billingsley going out to Steve Sarkisian. Still got to get up early, still got to run, still got to lift, still got to eat right, still got to report for study hall, still got to practice, still got to beat out really good players. Got to do all the stuff you had to do at Alabama. Just got to do it a different place right now. It was a crimson shirt, now it's going to be a burnt orange shirt. That is the only difference. And when he says it's not really working out the way some of these guys think, I would say most of them. You look at what it's doing is it is sort of holding up a scholarship for a situation that ultimately doesn't work out for the program giving it or the player taking it. Because I'm a wide receiver or a linebacker or a safety, and there's a fair chance that I show up. And Like, who was it? Was it McCaffrey? Showed up at Louisville for like three practices? And Satterfield's like, yeah, I don't know. He left. He showed up. Now he's gone. He landed at Rice. Well, he left Nebraska. Is that right?
Yeah, because remember,
and they went to Louisville.
Yeah, because Scott Frost commented about it. And then that's when McCaffrey's brother and everybody got involved.
So he's at Louisville for part of a week. And then I'm going to Rice. Clearly not daunted by academics. But Satterfield wouldn't. I didn't think he said his name. Maybe he couldn't at that point. But he referenced, yeah, we had a guy. I think this was the next afternoon. We had a guy who showed up, practiced a few times, decided didn't like it. So on he moves. Now, did he make the right decision? Maybe. And maybe it's the end of the rainbow for him at Rice. But in the interim, it was very easy for him to leave Nebraska, land at Louisville for part of a week, and then just move on. And it took whatever time, resource, and there's no guarantees even if the kid stays there 5 years, but time, resources, whatever, for something that is so portable and disposable for one end of this. Well, what about the program? I don't know. I'll see the program treating kids, not kids who show up and sign a letter of intent. Not like this. What's up, man?
You know, it's actually something now that falls right in line with two things we've talked about today. Wide receiver U and also with the transfer portal. Because you mentioned the times that Georgia has had a first-round NFL draft pick at wide receiver, and it was, of course, A.J. Green and then Lindsey Scott. This school that I'm talking about here, is for the life of me, I can't understand why more kids don't pick this destination when they're looking for more production and a chance to be able to raise their profile going to the NFL. It's the school that Eric Molds came out of in 1996 when he was drafted in the first round. That's Mississippi State. Before that, Danny Knight, was the other one in 1984. But you want the football thrown to you. All right, well, you're getting it thrown there to the tune of at least 50 catches. If you're a premier wide receiver, that would be the baseline of what to expect, because going through the numbers of just last season alone, Mekhi Polk is now going to try his luck at the NFL. Very good wide receiver indeed. 105 catches for him. The second behind him, Jaden Wally at 55.
He was like preseason, maybe all-SEC or second team or something. That guy's a monster.
So you've got him as well, and then you've got Austin Williams at 52 catches.
Big giant physical receiver as well.
It gets back to the time of when Michael Crabtree chose Texas Tech, and people were looking at him and saying, why Texas Tech? Look at what they're doing in Austin. Look at what they're doing up in Norman. Why do you want to go to this school and not the others? He said, why the hell wouldn't I want to go to this school? You seen how many times they throw the football? If they're throwing the football that many times, there is no way that I'm not going to get the football thrown to me so many times because of the type of player I am and how good I am. And obviously, it turned out for him being a high draft pick and somebody who got into the NFL and had a decently long career. So I get that not everybody has the same goals. I mean, Jermaine Burton obviously is choosing Alabama because he believes it can make him more of a productive target for the reasons that you just threw out with the numbers. But also, too, he has another chance to win the entire thing again. And those are two things that he thinks he can marry up to NFL teams saying, yeah, hey, that guy, he's got the physical tools. He's got the intangibles. He's got all those things that we hear this time of the year when we're trying to pick a player or pick against them and not for my team to go with them. So I get it. But if you're someone out there who is looking to be a hell of a target and even lift the profile of a program, why not Starkville?
You don't want to play in Austin? You don't want to play in Norman? Are there NFL franchises there? No, I want to play in Miami. All right? I want to play in Houston. I want to play in Oakland. I want to play in Seattle because I want to get paid. It's not about going and winning on Saturday, rah-rah. Michael Crabtree, very bottom line business decision by that man. Credit him for actually as an 18-year-old being a little bit more forward-thinking.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If you ever go to broadcast school, they're going to tell you something about appointment listening. And it's why maybe you do the same feature at the same time. Growing up, there was a station in Atlanta called Peach FM, and it was like adult contemporary, adult listening, like easy listening stuff. And when I was like 10, and they had the 515 train to yesterday, and it was something from like the 40s, and I'm like, what, why is this on? But it was appointment listening. Well, it's appointment listening every Wednesday. Bottom of hour one for the man who's the namesake of LandryFootball.com. I want to welcome him on right now. Chris Landry, how you doing today, brother?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I am blessed, that's for sure. If people go to Landry Football and they do what I do, they click that banner on the right side that says join here. What do they get access to?
Well, everything, but okay, what is everything? Specifically, what's hot now, what's going on for the most of your listening audiences. You want to know who the top players in the transfer portal are, where they've gone and who's still out there, got that for you by position. Going to have a lot of recruiting updates with signing day next week and kind of what the latest is there. Obviously, for those that just follow in football and as a whole, we've got all the NFL stuff, the Vikings hiring their GM. Jacksonville's pretty close to getting their head coach deal done. We're keeping everybody up to date there. The draft stuff, free agency, recruiting, coaching searches, you know, all of that we've got for you, you know, nonstop, LandryFootball.com. So check it out today. We've got our something we put together that's a little different, that's a little scouting season offer. It's kind of what we call this time of year. We still got three games left in the NFL, but we've got a scouting season, which scouting season's all year round. But for fans, this is scouting season, and they want to know everything from recruiting to free agency to the draft, and we've got that covered for you at LandryFootball.com. So make sure you take advantage of that.
All right, and I do, that's for sure. And especially coming up, I get reminded every year right around the draft is when my subscription needs to be renewed, and I can't do it fast enough. But the off season is even better than in season, so LandryFootball.com. All right, Jermaine Burton, and I was fair about this, I believe. It was kind of split with the Georgia fan base. Some of them were, why would he do that? Go to Alabama. Why would he leave? Well, of wide receivers, he led the team last year, 497 yards on 26 catches. Bama's second receiver had 96 receptions. Is it about that simple for Jermaine Burton? It's a business decision.
Yeah, it's going to a team that has a better passing game, that teaches it and works it better. And for somebody, and this, hey, it's about me, you know, people, you know, maybe reluctantly, but going to have to realize that we're not in the age of, well, they're going to the school now. It's all about me. It's NIL. It's everything once they're there. And the future is, if you've got NFL future, you want to do the best to focus on that. And they have, obviously, with a proven quarterback that is coming back and a team that throws it well. There's a need, believe it or not, kind of unusual, that Alabama has a need of experienced receivers. And it doesn't hurt that Jameson Williams had some pretty good success coming over. And Burton is not Jameson Williams, but in his mind, hey, I can go and get me some of that, and I can certainly help my draft stock if I do a good job by being in a more sophisticated passing attack than from which I am been playing in. So that's the reason for it, pure and simple, nothing more, nothing less.
What is going on with the coaches' room, the staff, the hirings, and the even Nick Eason left. Everybody else was exited. With Brian Harsin at Auburn right now, it just it's interesting for it to be the conclusion of year one, and I will assume he actually hired all the assistants. And to have not just turnover, but this type of nobody like the NFL didn't hire Derek Mason. Middle Tennessee didn't offer him the head coaching job. What's going on?
I think big picture here is it makes me step back and wonder, not that he was told to do certain things, but maybe he was encouraged to do certain things. Just the in-season move that he made at the receiver coach position and the postseason move. When you don't win, you know, changes are made. What normally happens, what probably should happen is, you know what? If I don't win here and turn this around, you know who they're coming after next. So I'm going to hire who the bleep I want, and I really don't care what anybody else thinks, because if I don't win, then they'll fire all of me. So the quote-unquote, you really ought to look hard at this guy, and I think some of that, because he was coming from a program that wasn't an SEC-level program, and was he because he was coming from another part of the country, I think he was open to maybe other ideas. And I'm not saying that just like booster ideas. I'm saying that people that maybe spoke on behalf of some of these candidates that might be good fits for you, you ought to check them out. I think he's kind of circling the wagons and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it with the people that I know. Because one of the difficult things is if you have to hire too many people on your staff that don't know how you do it and have to learn how you do it, then it makes the transition that much more difficult. So it's going to be more about we're going to coach it a certain way, and I need guys that I don't need to teach how we're going to do it, that they're going to do it come heck or high water. And I don't know that it's going to work or not work. I had concerns about the hire from the beginning, but that's what's going on. And what does it mean in terms of this or that? Derek Mason's a perfect example. Here's a guy's good defense coordinator. He's done a good job where he's been. You know, it's somebody that maybe it just didn't mesh quite as good as he had hoped. And so, I mean, you don't leave Auburn to go to Oklahoma State, which is what Derek's planning to do. So that is, you know, typically the case of, all right, it, for whatever reason, that wasn't quite the way they didn't see, I'm not saying personality, but just, you know, football-wise, it just wasn't quite meshing. And so while it may have been a splash hire last year and one that some of us thought might have a chance to work, it hasn't. So you're going to see more and more of his type of guys. May not be necessarily from his place, but people that he's much more comfortable with for the reasons that I mentioned.
All right. You know, I've always – you can tell what a guy really did as a coordinator by who plucks him. And if you're the defense – or you're the offensive coordinator who Oklahoma comes for, that means you weren't just a do-boy. You weren't just an errand boy. So that means Lebby was doing something. I haven't heard any reaction around Oxford other than next. I mean, literally, and I know what the relationship is, and I know who the head coach is. But if it really was a do-nothing job and Lane was doing all the heavy lifting anyway, Oklahoma may not have come for him. I mean, it's just you got to give Lebby some credit there, don't you?
Well, yeah. I've said, and folks, you know, tend to at this time of year, it's kind of like – if they lose a recruit, well, we didn't want him anyway. You lose a coach. No, he's not going anywhere. He'd never leave my school, and then he leaves. Well, we didn't want him back anyway. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. So I think you take that with a grain of salt. With Jeff, I can tell you what he contributed. He contributed the pace. He was the guy that really, you know, the offense was Lane's design. The play calling was Jeff. There's a lot of, you know, symmetry between the play design on what Jeff knew before they got together here and before they got together, period. But the whole pace and tempo, that is something that was introduced to Lane by Jeff through his background with Baylor and obviously Art Brown. So Jeff can coach. Jeff is really good. Jeff called the plays. And the reason why he left is because it's a better job. Oh, by the way, it's his school, and he can go and be the quote unquote, the big guy that's coaching for the defensive head coach. So the whole talk about, well, what did he really do at Ole Miss with Lane? Because a lot of people who don't really study it or know are going to assume, well, no, it's, and the fans over there, hey, it's Lane. It doesn't matter who the coordinator is on offense because it's Lane. And I think there's something to that, at least perception-wise. Reality is a little bit different. Jeff's a really good coach. I have said, though, the big key for me is everybody's just lauding the hire at Oklahoma. But I would have hoped and I would think that Brent and he had discussions long before making the decision. How are we going to run the pace and the tempo? What is that going to look like? Because if you're going to run that type of tempo,
Absolutely. Then
you're not going to play defense mm-hmm. like Brent wants to play it. So, again, I have gone through the, well, I'm going to assume, because it is common sense that you would assume. I would assume that the Buffalo Bills would have squib kicked it, but they didn't. So I don't assume anymore, because there are too many times when I assume I look like the first three letters of the word. It just, I don't know if they're running 90 snaps a game, they're not going to be much better on defense just because Brent Venables had a defensive coordinator by his name. I would hope that they would look a little bit more tempo-wise and style-wise like Clemson. And if they do that, I think they can be really successful, because I think Brent is going to focus on the defense. So that's what I think is going to happen. And I think Jeff is going to modify it. I think he can and will, because he's not the head coach. But I do question that and say, just because I think it's going to be, I don't know, and I won't know until it's done.
Folks, we're going to stay in the SEC West. Just a couple more there. We'll bounce to the East, maybe get out national. We'll do that when we come back from this break. That's next with Chris Landry.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community, because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We'll stay in the SEC West, talking with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Chris, when we had the audio of Deep South Brian Kelly, and there was the uproar and just the, you know, the whatever, the internet digital backlash, for whatever you care about that. I necessarily don't. In fact, I didn't even hear it for about a week because I was so disinterested in it. I just saw what it was about. And my response was there a game last night? Because I don't think there was. Now that we're, you know, a month out or whatever from that, and the staff is, you know, completed, and you see what the off-field staff is looking like and how recruiting and the portal and all that is kind of shaping up, give me a report card for the last, say, 2 months of Brian Kelly.
I would say I'm pretty impressed with what he's done. Some people are maybe concerned about, why didn't you keep this guy, that guy? Look, you're changing culture. You want to have your own guys in. Like the staff he's done, got one of my little, believe it or not, one of my little cousins that I got a job there, who's been really good. He's worked at Virginia and a couple of other places, and an up-and-coming guy. He's now working there. They have put together a really good staff, hired just recently a very good guy from North Carolina State. So they're very good off the staff. On the staff is really good, kind of figured that out. So I think those things are going to be you know, real interesting to watch. Transfer portal heavy because of the first class, and it's 80% was already done. I think we need to watch this week. They're working hard on Harold Perkins, who decommitted from A&M, and Jacoby Matthews, who's they're trying to hold off A&M and a couple of others in state. So I'm curious to see how they finish it up. But I like what he's done. The transition part is still transitioning with a lot of them, but it's I think what's it's going on, it's going pretty well, quite frankly.
Billy Napier, again, proof's in the pudding. They got one more weekend like everybody else for a giant event, and then they've got, you know, the opening of recruiting, the traditional day on Wednesday, and it just kind of goes forever out there. It's not like in December where it's 3 days. I don't know how it turns out, but, I mean, he must be chugging Red Bull or Monster or something, because all I had heard about him was relentless, tireless, get after it, aggressive recruiter, all of that, and it seems to be. Because, again, when I say I don't know how it turns out, they are in conversations and are trying to get people on campus that if you go back 2 months ago, a month ago, maybe that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I know. We're kind of looking at Perkins as one of those guys, and I'm curious to see how that finishes with him, regardless where he goes, but with Florida. Here's a little bit of a different situation as I see it, and I've worked on something and put it up on Landry Football. I analyzed what he's done. The biggest thing he's done, say, unlike LSU, where they've been a few little staff change titles and stuff, to look at the numerous amount of new staff creation, support staff creation for Florida. It's incredible. It's like they're becoming what other people become in terms of all the different titles and how they're clearly defined, everything from the training room to the equipment room to the recruiting and everything that goes along with recruiting, the social media, the all that type of stuff. That is a little bit newer and a lot of ties to where he's been at ULL and at Alabama. A lot of that folks that have come up. So you're seeing a guy that's handling, you know, the digital stuff on recruiting that was a recruiting assistant at Alabama when he was there. So that's been really impressive to see what he's done. And that gives you a look into how he's going to do things much more thorough. He did it at ULL with a much shorter budget and with a lot of free guys. And so he knows how to do it. He's just got money now to pay people. And I think he's off to a really good start. I don't think we're going to see it, the effects of it, to next year's recruiting class, but it's really helped him kind of go from, you know, I hate the rankings, but that's the only thing people can relate to it. They go from like 75th to like, you know, into the top 20 level, 25 level, which is a big jump in the short time span that he's been there, and you're going to see significant improvement. Look, that's why they hired him, right? You got to recruit as good as Georgia. And if you can't, then we hired the wrong guy. So, well, this is what we're going to have to do it. And it reminds me a lot of what Kirby did when he went to Georgia. The biggest thing that he did that's leading to the on-field success is he went in and he replicated all the support staff, all the analysts, that it was – it's Alabama-like. Well, yep. That is what Billy wants to do. Everybody talks about the ULL guy. What he's doing – he's bringing the Alabama approach to Florida like it was brought to Athens, and I'm curious to see if he can do it as well.
Staying in the SEC East, Shane Beamer in South Carolina. We're actually going to talk to him in hour two today. And I've been doing this show 7.5 years, and it's not me being trying to be funny. This is, I think, fair evaluation here. Not often I've talked about momentum at South Carolina, not since I've been doing the show. And they've got momentum over there coming off a 7-6 season. What's going on? What is that?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really impressed with what he's done thus far. I wasn't, you know, it's nothing against Shane. I just thought there were a couple of better options, but I understand why they went with Shane due to the background there and the support that he had there. He's doing a really good job. I don't know that, again, ultimately he'll do as good a job as maybe a couple of others that I thought would be better fits would. Time will tell. I would just say he's off to a really good start. He needs to be. And the one thing that he can do well, and, you know, the reputation-wise he could do well, is recruit and organize and be an overseer. And I think so far so good. I do think last year when you break down the tape, it wasn't as good as the overall record. I know all that matters, folks, is the record. I get it. But the record is what you are relative to who you're playing against. I do think there's some programs in the East that are not very good and some others that are normally very good that just shot themselves in the foot. So I think it's going to get tougher to replicate that going forward. And so, you know, I just want to take the time to say that I think that he's off to a good start. If we're having this conversation 3 years from now, I'm not quite sure where it's headed. And I don't know that it's headed because you know how people are. Well, Chuck, we won 7 this year. Are we going to win 9 or 10 next year? No and no.
It's funny you bring that up and phrase it that way because literally my next question is about a 7-5 Tennessee team in 2021 that I talked about this and it was legit. During the season, I said a Tennessee fan had more huggable moments than a Georgia fan. They had more excitement and fun during the regular season than a Georgia fan. Went 7-5 and okay, go 7-5 in 2022. It'll be an entirely different experience. We got about a minute and a half left. Tell me what your view from afar, overall of the Tennessee program right now going into this offseason.
I think there's some of what I just said with South Carolina, but there's a little bit more upside at Tennessee. Because I do think the offense can be unique and dynamic. Now, that's a case of they want to be a fast tempo. So I kind of see them. The ceiling is if Josh can do what he wants to do there, they're going to be maybe a poor man's version of Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley, which is really good. In the SEC, it's going to limit you. I don't think the defense will ever be good enough to be like championship level, but they can cause a whole lot of problems for people because their offense is really dynamic and it causes a lot of problems. So they've got a little more upside than South Carolina just traditionally. And I think that they've got a little bit more that they can hang their hat on offense, but I don't know if they're going to be championship level. Well, I know they'll never be championship level defense, the style of offense that they're playing, but they might be able to win enough offensively. And that fan base is so beaten down and the alumni is so beaten down that they think they're in heaven. But, you know, when they get to the point, okay, well, when you get those, when are we going to get back to it? You're not going to unless Georgia comes back to the pack because you're not going to be good enough defensively there. But that may, for a few years, that may, you know, it may be good enough to just score a bunch of points and win some games and pull an upset here or there.
You get the written reports, you get the news items, you get the videos, you get the podcast, you get all of it with your subscription at LandryFootball.com. Chris, thanks so much, man.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you, buddy. Take care.
All right, Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. And it's just about when it happens and how. And if you want to see that in an extreme case, you know, I said 7-5. You got to do better. Well, you can do better than that. Kevin Sumlin, did he win 10? 10-2 his first year at Texas A&M? Yeah, that was great while it was happening. And then it wasn't year one anymore. And I'd already seen a Heisman Trophy, and I had seen 10 wins, and you beat Bama, and wait a minute, 8 wins? Boo, Kevin Sumlin. And maybe he need to be fired anyway, but I'm telling you, it matters when you achieve.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.